Greetings to all of you. It is good to be together in this manner. I was thinking about 2 weeks ago, my wife stirred a thought actually within our family, and it had to do with the brain. And I'm reminded of another quote just standing here that I read once, and it said, "The brain works perfectly the day you're born and stops to work when you speak publicly." Anyways, so before we talk about the brain, I have a blank spot here on my notes here, and I want to hear from you once we get there. What is brotherhood? So be thinking about that, and I expect some response. So we know a little bit about our brain. We know that it weighs about 3 pounds. It basically doesn't develop much in size after the age of 3. There's a small spurt of growth when you're a teenager. That's about it. And we understand functions somewhat. We know that there's certain parts of the brain that do things that other parts don't. It's a complex organ. And it's very painful to observe someone whose brain doesn't function like the majority of people's brain. And I have a quote here from H. Chandler Elliott. Came across it probably a year and a half ago, and I thought it was so well said. I'll try to say it slow so you can grasp it. "The brain is the man. Its health is essential for normal living. Its disorders are surely the most profound of human miseries, and its destruction annihilates a person humanly, however intact his body." Last night, we as a family observed a man look normal. His extremities worked, he could walk, he could order. But something had destroyed his mind. And at first, your first response is by his own world that he's living in, that it's sort of funny. You almost want to chuckle about it. But in the end, it is really sad when that happens to a person. Now, sitting up here, I have the ability to observe some of you walk in. I could analyze the situation. I saw the ushers back there talking, second Sunday, maybe tweaking a little bit. I don't know, but I was analyzing things. And I was studying some of you. Some of you sang with gusto, and some of you, well, didn't. But my brain allowed me to observe this, okay? Now here's what I want you to think about. But who observes and analyzes and studies the brain itself? I do. We do. So what we have is that the brain has the ability to observe and analyze and study itself. I don't know for a fact, but I'm suspicious that it's safe to say that the brain is the only part of a human that has that ability. In fact, it may be the only matter in the world that can study and observe and analyze itself. Now, I want to transition to brotherhood. Somebody give me a definition of brotherhood.
A body.
A body. Anybody else want to add something?
Being there for each other.
Thank you. There for each other.
Listening to its head.
Listening to its head. Lowell.
Framework or goal.
Now let me ask you another question. Who should observe and analyze and study and suggest changes to the brotherhood? It's you and I. We are, I am, a part of this brotherhood. Now, I'm not here to suggest that we have a lot of threatening winds to the brotherhood, but I think it's safe to say that the winds of individualism are pushing hard. Today, in this age that we live in, it feels like individualism rules. And while we want to think that we're insulated from it, I think that what we observe and what we read and what we see happening around about us can subtly influence us. And it's safe to say that somewhere individualism and brotherhood will meet at a crossroad sometime. It's happened for me, and it's probably happened for you too. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, I'm a patriarch, I lead my family the way I want to lead it, I can make good decisions, I'm making the right decision, and the brotherhood, I will not allow the brotherhood to speak to me and my family. We will make a decision. And probably not many of us have to think about people who have made those decisions. And I would say for the most part, sometimes those decisions have not gone very well, have not panned out in the next generation or two. I think as leaders in our homes, we have to show and exemplify this to our children. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 8. Paul here is talking about, well, he's talking about food sacrificed to idols. If I had time, I'd read the whole chapter, but I don't. So therefore, you sort of know the context, and I'm not trying to necessarily draw, I want to be fair with this scripture and what I'm saying, but after he says all of this, the first 12 verses, he says this. And in verse 13, he says this. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. What a statement. I will eat no flesh. It sounds to me like he's a flesh eater, like he's a meat eater. But for the sake of continuity in his brother, for his brother's conscience, for brotherhood, he would say, he won't do that, lest I make my brother to offend. This was a crossroad that he made very wise decisions on what he says. It is the antithesis of, you do your thing, I'll do mine. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. In chapter 15, and here again, in verse 14, he starts talking about idol feasts and the Lord's Supper. So in 10, verse 15, he says, I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. He's asking them to look, observe, analyze this. And in verse 24, he says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth, or another good. This is, Paul wanted his brethren to look at the good in other people. And he is begging them that it's not yourself. It's more than you. It's us. It's we. He wanted them to conceptualize that. Paul here was making decision to strengthen this young brotherhood. And just like we have today, we can make decisions that strengthen or weaken the brotherhood. And I simply want to encourage you, when you see the opportunity, to strengthen the brotherhood. And I think this can be in joy and it can be in sorrow. It's easy to be in a brotherhood that is all joy. But when we cry, when we share, when we pour out our heart, when it hurts, this is also strengthening brotherhood. May we take the opportunity to not weaken, but strengthen the brotherhood. And may we always choose to strengthen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, thank you that you are the creator of us and you're our Savior. And it's undoubtedly your desire that your people love each other and have a proper concept of brotherhood. And we do not ask this selfishly for just this congregation, but your people abroad as well. And in times of wind and dry, in times of wind and flooding, we ask that you perfect your earthly brotherhood to your glorification. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.